Hi there, it's Jennifer. Who else has come on the line?
Kathy Webster.
Hello, Kathy Webster from good old, Mark?
Yes.
Yes, Ontario. Who else is on the line?
Beth is here.
Who's that?
Beth Gorbett.
Hello, Beth Gorbett.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
I feel like you're my long-lost sister.
So long or lost.
It's the hair.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there. Who's that?
Heidi.
Hi, Heidi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Another long-lost one.
Long lost. I got so excited that I called this number yesterday night, and then it said I was the only person in conference. And I said, oh, that's good deliberate manifesting. And I said it for about 10 seconds, and I thought, wait a minute, what night is this?
Well done.
I got eager.
It's all good. It's all good. You got the energy moving for the rest of us.
Yeah.
So who else is on the line? Who else joined?
I don't know.
Who hasn't said hello? I know there's others that haven't said hello.
They're shy.
No, maybe that's it.
Now, you said there's a number to mute the outside.
Yes. Now? As soon as 9 o'clock hits, we will talk about
okay.
How to do that.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Are there a number of people on this call?
There are quite a number of people on this call. Who's this?
Gail.
Hi, Gail. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm speaking to Jennifer.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got quite a number on so far.
That's good. Should we mute our phones now?
If everyone wants
hello.
To do that. Hello. Who's
sorry,
that?
Jambo.
Hello. How are you, Mike?
Hey, Jennifer. I'm great. How are you?
Most excellent. Thank you very much.
I had trouble getting in.
Oh, did you? How's that? Did you, sometimes when you don't wait for the beep to put in your prompt?
Oh. Well, I'm here. Sorry for being a little
late. I'm sure we would have figured it out. So, hold on, everyone. I'm going to wait till 9 o'clock to give instructions about muting out. I actually think what Mike and I are going to do is we're going to mute you all out for about a half an hour while Mike and I chat and you all can listen. And then I will unmute us, or you, from us. And then you'll be able to ask some questions. So I will. Then you'll be free to do what you need to do, and Mike and I can talk freely without getting any background noise. So for everyone, this will be recorded, by the way, and posted on the website if anyone wants to re-listen. Oh, feedback. And who else do we have on the line? We've already heard from quite a few people. Who else has joined us?
Laura.
Who's that?
Laura.
From?
Laura Gray.
Oh, hi, Laura Gray.
Hi,
how are you?
Hi, Jennifer. I'm good. How are you?
Good to hear from you. And who else is on the line? Guys, who hasn't said hi? Oh, I know there's quite a few more. Anyways, we'll get started in about 1 minute. So, Mike, you had a good day.
I had a wonderful day, thanks. You and you, Jennifer?
I had a fabulous day talking to a whole bunch of people in Vancouver, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a great day that way. So met a few interesting people.
And you were just there, weren't you?
I was just there, and I'm about to be there again next week.
Wow.
Yes, lucky me.
Yeah.
I'm dreaming. I know you're down there in Florida. So,
and it's beautiful. The weather is just heaven right now. It's I don't know centigrade, but it's 70s in the day, 50s at night. It's just been.
People just have to go to your lecture just to, you know, you'll be like a fireplace.
Hi.
Hi there. Who else just joined us?
Hi, Lori and Laura.
Hi there.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Is that Jen?
Yes, it is. Who's that?
Yvonne.
Come on.
Yvonne.
Oh, Yvonne, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good, good. Anyone else just join us?
Hi, Kathy here.
Hi, Kathy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, nice to hear your voice. And who else just joined us?
It's Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Hi. How are those healing codes coming?
Oh, they're waiting for me.
Anyone else just joined us? Okay, good. We had we have at least 50 people on the line right now,
ooh.
So that's good. So I know more people will be joining us, and that's just great. So now, guys, before we get started and before I make introductions, I just want everyone to know that how tonight is going to go is this. First, Captain Jumbo and I are going to be talking and conversationally. I have a few questions for him, and we'll sort of get you introduced and connected and hooked up so you guys can all get to know Mike a little bit more. And then we're going to open up the lines, meaning that you don't actually have to mute yourself out. I'm going to mute you all out, but you'll still be able to hear us. So, and then I'm going to unmute you, and the reason why I'm going to mute you out is because we're recording tonight, and it will be posted on the website so everyone can re-listen or send a friend to it or whatever the case may be. Is that cool with everyone?
Yep.
Yes. Sure.
Great. So hold on 1 second, and let's get going. So just 1 second, and I will figure out how to do this. Okay, good. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jennifer.
It's great to have you on the line tonight.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, so excited to have you. So before we get started, I just wanted to share with everyone how I came upon you and Tut.com. And I know there's quite a few Tut.com participants on the line tonight. And just in case anyone is in front of a computer, I recommend you go to www.tut.com just to check it out. Very funky stuff.
Thanks.
My experience with Tut.com is one of my friends was pestering me, Mike, for, let me just think. I think it was at least 3 months. You have to join this. You have to join this. And you did a marvelous job. I am on that website. You can input all your information, and I got started to get personal emails from the universe, your close friend. And as a result, because I teach a course called Get Out of Your Own Way, and it's all about that connection and manifesting a life of, I started to realize that it was contributing to the moment your emails, or sorry, the universe's emails were contributing to the momentum in my life, and I started to actually recommend your site to the people in my course after they graduated to just help keep the momentum going.
That's awesome.
So I would love to hear a little bit about how, and I can share your history, but you know what, it's so much better coming from yourself. So it's kind of magical as I was reading your bio. How did you ever get to this wonderful .com called Totally Unique Thoughts? How did you get from where you were to where you are now? Because you worked at Price Waterhouse as a CPA of all things.
A logical extension, huh?
Clear extension. So how did that happen?
Well, it has been an amazing turn of events, and really it is a great metaphor for the kind of things that I've been teaching the last 7 years, and specifically the topic that I'm working on now, manifesting change, because 7 years ago, well, I'll take you back a little bit further, but there was the Price Waterhouse thing after I graduated from college. I was a CPA, which is the equivalent of a chartered accountant in the States, worked in auditing, nearly got fired, visualized my way into happiness walking up and down the hallways, and the universe said, well, that'll come from being in the tax department. So there was a jockeying around of positions. I was in the tax department. Things turned around swiftly. And then the next thing I knew, I was living overseas in Saudi Arabia, which brought many dreams to fruition, one of which was finding myself in Kowloon, Hong Kong, having breakfast in the Regent Hotel. When I looked up from my little place setting at the two-story windows in front of me, and I saw the exact same view of Hong Kong Island that I had cut-pasted into a scrapbook I had made 2 years earlier, before I even started working for Price Waterhouse.
Ooh, I've got goosebumps.
Yeah, and this was me. This is little old Mike Dooley, you know, who had lived in Florida for almost forever and went to college in Florida and was living in Florida. And I thought, well, one day I want to be like my British uncle, who's an international business person. And I had heard about Hong Kong and was marveling at the skyscrapers and the landscaping and, you know, a Town and Country magazine or Architecture Digest, I don't know which. And so that was one of the images that I used to visualize. And then, boom, you know, these crazy turn of events from auditing to tax to international tax to a tour of duty in Saudi Arabia and then several trips for leisure purposes around the world to make my home leaves. And so there I was in Hong Kong Island on Kowloon's side of Hong Kong Island and looked up, and I must have been sitting literally in the photographer's chair. It was the exact panoramic view that I had visualized, and there I was sitting and just stupefied. And, you know, of course I was an accountant back then and wished so much I had taken pictures and documented, but I was just like, wow, check this out. Nobody's going to believe me. But, you know, then it was back to debits and credits and foreign tax credits. So my life continued in accounting until I had really had enough, and I had thought something would steal me away, but nothing did. So I forced matters and said, you know, well, I'm quitting. You know, I sold my condo in Boston because I had repatriated there, moved to Orlando, and within a few months, teamed up with brother and mother selling our own line of T-shirts. Brother was the artist, and I was the little poet, if you will, although I've always not liked that word. It's got too many negative connotations for me.
So this all started as a T-shirt company.
Started as a T-shirt company. Okay. Now that was about 17 years ago. I left Pricewaterhouse cold turkey, had just received my promotion to management, a real milestone, and I thought, well, you know what, I've proved all I'm going to prove, all that I care to prove, and nothing's come along. And if I don't kind of step out into the unknown, which I knew would force something, you know, nothing's going to happen. And I was at a point in my life where I wasn't attached to anybody. I had toyed with selling my condo, and so I put it on the market for, you know, a higher than reasonable price, and somebody took it in a week. And I was like, that's it, you know. This is not going to happen again. I was 27, 28, and, you know, making a lot of money in those days for somebody who was 27, 28, but I just did not like what I was doing. And so I thought, leap. And so I leapt. And again, a lot of these things I have made lessons out of into the material that I share. But what came of that leap was moving to Orlando and teaming up with my brother, who was an artist, and my mother, who was a manager of a club and a tennis club. And so we kind of focused in Orlando and launched TUT, which came to stand for Totally Unique T-Shirts. And then because a lot of the shirts, almost all of them, had my writing, my poems about life, dreams, and happiness on them, we called it Totally Unique Thoughts, and that name has stuck. The company selling T-shirts flourished. We had distributors all over the world. We traveled all over the world. Really, it went from zero to wow in about 3 years, Go ahead.
Which begs the question, do you still sell those T-shirts?
We still sell some of the T-shirts,
right.
And my brother at his site sells others. And the business, Tut Enterprises, Inc., is the same business that was incorporated in 1989. But 7 years ago, the trends were way down, sales, profits, and I had tried several years to try to change that, but our enthusiasm was kind of gone, and actually at the time I thought it was the end of a dream, and I didn't know what had happened to my life. I was like, you know, I never thought as I approached 40 I'd be starting over, that I'd have no career momentum, that I'd have to figure out something brand new to do for a living. Going back to accounting was not appealing. I had spent 10 years as an entrepreneur, and I was really at a loss to explain it. But one of the things I talk about now is, number one, to assume the absolute power that is all of ours, you have to accept absolute responsibility for everything. But that does not mean you have to explain everything. Because sometimes when things are happening and all we have is our physical senses to interpret them, we will invariably be at a loss. And this was so true for me back then. And what is important is to understand the nature of reality. My take on that is that our thoughts become the things and events of our lives. And so 7 years ago, I didn't know how my life had seemingly crashed, but I did know that my thoughts became things. And if I wanted to get going again and establish any kind of momentum, I would have to do what I knew to do, say what I knew to say, and above all, think what I knew to think. And that meant visualizing an end result in general terms where I saw myself surrounded in friends, saw myself with fulfilling work,
mm-hmm.
and surrounded in wealth and abundance, because there's no reason anybody can't have that. And that was all I told the universe. It was like, look, I don't know how I got here, but I know where I want to go in terms of the end result, and that's all important. And in the meantime, I'm just going to knock on doors and turn over stones, and you, universe, mess with accursed house. So not only did I clearly define what I wanted to do, but I started doing stuff. And in the doing, all that was left from the T-shirt days we did were the liquidated our inventory, but again, we were ahead financially, so I could coast for a couple of years. We had the domain name, and I had about 1,000 or 2,000 email addresses from people who signed our guest book store.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started sending out an enhanced Monday morning motivator, something I used to send out without editorial, but now I was sending out one of the poems from our T-shirt with some insight as to the lesson about visualization or picturing the end result, et cetera.
And so a dream is born.
And so a dream was born, and that has evolved into exactly what I'm doing today, writing and speaking about the nature of reality. And now I can look back and explain the train crashing. And most ironically, the train didn't crash.
I was just going to say, you know what? That's one perspective on it. For me, I think the train hooked up with another train and just...
That's exactly right.
You know, it started going out into the cosmos.
The chain simply changed tracks, and
yeah.
I was so glued to the whole scene with my physical senses,
uh-huh.
which never reveal the deeper reality, that I didn't realize it was actually a dream coming true, because I had written for 10 years to accompany my brother's art on T-shirts that would go to the Caribbean and Hawaii and
yeah.
Places with dolphins and palm trees on the
mm-hmm.
T-shirts, and I always felt like, you know, I discovered that I liked writing and that I could write on T-shirts. And then it was like, well, I wish I could reach more people than a T-shirt with palm trees on it.
I'll start with coffee cups.
Yeah. Well, we did. We had every novelty item. But still,
wow.
I wanted a real audience. And then the yeah. next thing you know, I have 60,000 people who every single day, Monday through Friday, get a note from the universe. And they buy my books, they buy my audio programs,
mm-hmm.
they tell me the difference it's making in their lives, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's enabled me to do, now I'm on my second world tour, all the major populated continents. Next year it'll include South Africa. So it's really and truly been amazing. I let the universe do all the hard stuff.
Well, what's so great, Mike, is you're actually living what you teach. You know, from what you just mentioned, there are so many, we're not even going to hit on any of the questions you and I discussed. I'd actually, out of what you just said, I'd like to touch on a few things, because really tonight for me, I want to make sure that everyone that's listening, we get to drill down into some of these concepts really well.
Perfect.
And you're living them so fully. And I really do get the blessing of you're talking to someone who gets those same emails back from people saying, I can't believe how my life has changed. So it really is wonderful, the work you do. And it is, I know for sure, for a fact, that it's wonderful to be you on the other end of those emails.
Thanks, Jen.
So a couple of things you said. One of the things that I really loved you said was about you were in Hong Kong. You came back, you were doing something that was okay, and you guys were doing well at it, but you knew that you had to, and I'm going to put it in a sort of my vernacular, but if you can expand a little bit more, that is this. You said that in order for the universe to give you your dream or, you know, fill the hole with some magical sparkly stuff, you actually had to create the hole for it to fill.
Oh, so true. Great observation.
Just share a little bit about that for people so they understand what that meant to you and what it means in reality.
Oh, it's so true. Even now, I use that same kind of metaphor every day when I start a brand new note from the universe. You have to step out into the unknown. It truly does force matters. It's not enough just to be thinking about the end result, your dreams, but perhaps my most important message to any person or reader or audience member is that after you think the thoughts you know to think. After you visualize the end result, perhaps you've done it with a scrapbook or in your own way, it is then absolutely imperative, incumbent upon all of us, to then move with those dreams. And what happens so often is most people are startled because they see the end result real clearly.
Mm-hmm.
They've been told not to mess with the cursed howls. They don't know how their dream's going to come true, and that paralyzes them on the sidelines with fear, and they're like, well, you know, I need a little more clarity before I move forward, and I don't want to take this direction because it might be the wrong direction, and then the universe is going to be up a creek. And I'm like, no, the way I look at it is like this, and I phrase it like this. If you want the universe, the magic, life's magic, to have every opportunity to reach you,
mm-hmm.
then you must do everything you can with all you got from where you are. That's all you can do. It's not an advanced subject. But if you want the universe to have every reason to reach you, you have to give it every reason yourself. So to me, that means knocking on all the doors and turning over all the stones. And then the question will invariably come up. If you've told me not to mess with the cursed house, if I'm starting
Wait, I want to touch on something, because
okay.
some of the people that are on the line tonight haven't had an email from Tut.com, and I just want to explain something. It's one of my favorite things. Wow. When it was about into, I don't know, I was maybe into my third week of getting emails from you, and all of a sudden you said something about the, and I want to make sure for those of you who didn't hear Mike say this or weren't sure what you heard, he said the cursed house, H-O-W-apostrophe-S. In other words, what we do is we try to figure out, in fact, women do this. I see so many women in the Get Out of Your Own Way course. I call it being the general manager of the universe, and they really need to resign from that position fully and just allow the universe to do its job. And so what we do, not just women, everyone, what we do is we assume much more control than we need to. And when we let go, the universe can figure out 100 more hows, how our dreams are going to happen, than we could even ever imagine. So I want to make sure that I have people
perfect.
Understand
that was
the
perfect.
How. Great. So continue. Sorry for interrupting, but I want to make sure everyone was on the same page.
No, that was excellent. And one of the things that I had just said, and I think I didn't say it as clearly as possible, if we want the universe to be able to do all that it can, then we must. It's not a, you don't have to, and it's predicated on an if. If you want the universe to be able to do all that it can for you and reach you in every possible way, then we must do all that we can. But that tends to psych people out, and it confuses people because they're like, well, look, if I'm hands-off on the universe, on the cursed house,
mm-hmm.
then how do I move in the direction of my dreams? How do I knock on every door, turn over every stone? And this is how you do it. It's 100% a matter of how you view what you're doing. It's not necessarily doing stuff differently,
mm-hmm.
but it's how you view it. You do not want to view yourself as the one who has to hit the home run,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of spiritually aware people or people who are new to spirituality and the power of the universe, the conspiring universe, their thoughts become things. They're like, oh, wow, you know, this is my power. And, well, in that case, I should be able to close the deal. I should be able to write the bestseller. I should, and they put the whole weight of the world on their shoulders. All of a sudden, what they're doing is trying to hit the home run because they've now found out that they're an unlimited being of light. And what you need to do, that's messing with the house, what you need to do is view what you're doing as pitching balls to the universe. The universe is then going to hit the home run. You don't know which ball the universe is going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And because my message is do all you can with what you've got from where you are, that's not necessarily working overtime or 6 days a week. If you only have 3 hours a day to dedicate to your career or to writing, then within those 3 hours, do all you can with what you've got from where you are. Look at it from every angle, knock on every possible door, approach every possible person. Because when you've got this assignment of, you know, doing multiple things, not just one thing, then there's no, all the weight of the world isn't on that one thing panning out. And so if this deal doesn't work, if that contract falls through, if this date is, you know, a dud, it doesn't matter because your assignment is simply to do all you can with what you've got from where you are. And there's always going to be one more thing you could do. And this way, we kind of delegate the home runs to the universe. We're not carrying the weight of the world on our shoulder. And the difference is totally how we see what we're doing, whether we see ourselves alone or whether we see ourselves as a team with the universe. And the universe, to me, is simply a metaphor for our greater self. There is not this, you know, white beard God out there, and there is not this, you know, hokey pokey little universe out there. It's really, we're one, which is kind of difficult to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
But the in the unseen is the greater portion of the icebergs that we are beneath the surface. And to give it a name, to give it a handle, so that we realize we're not alone. Okay, for me, I call it the universe, and other people will call it other things. The fact of the matter is there are unlimited resources and power and connections and awareness that are available to us if we know which buttons to press and which ones to delegate to the universe, and those would be the cursed house.
Absolutely, and you, when you say the universe, we could call it, just for clarification, we could call it, you know, that big quantum soup out there where all things are. Really, access to all resources is absolutely available to everyone as long as we connect with that greater self. There are a couple of things that you said. Again, you keep saying some juicy stuff, so I want to make sure we touch on some of these things. What you just said, and I'm paraphrasing, so if you can ensure that I'm paraphrasing and I'm catching your meaning from what you just said,
okay.
What you said, I think, was how you be in what you do is far more important than what you do.
That you do something,
yes,
is far more important than what you do. And this
fabulous.
Is talking to the uncertainty and the void that you had asked about.
Yes.
And because people are paralyzed on the sidelines, they don't do anything. But see, when you're not doing something, you're not putting yourself out in the world where the magic in the universe can reach mm-hmm. you. I had a little analogy in my last world tour. I said, you know, humor me and tell me you believe in luck. Humor me a little more and tell me that you fish for a living. And now let me tell you that tomorrow begins the 7 luckiest days of your life. So tomorrow morning, with the 7 luckiest days of your life beginning, and you as a fisherwoman or a fisherman, whoever you are about to go out, are you going to go with one pole or many? You're going to go with every dang pole you can get your paws on. You're going to go clean out Kmart and Home Depot because these are the 7 luckiest days of your life. You would not sit at home,
yeah,
wake up tomorrow morning, kind of look around and wonder at the eerie silence and say, where's the fish? Where's the fish? This is the luckiest day of my life. And that's what people who are unaccustomed to magic in the universe kind of want to do. They've all of a sudden mistakenly believed that their joy and excitement for discovering the truth about reality is going to be enough to change their life, and it's not. Even the person who's naive enough to believe in luck in any way, shape, or form,
yeah,
knows enough that it's not going to reach them, it's not going to do them any good unless they're out in the world stoking the fire. And it's
uh-huh.
exactly the same with the magic in the universe. And if you take a wrong turn or you knock on the wrong door, that's okay, because you're knocking on as many doors as you can get to. And at least by being out there, you see, when we think our thoughts and thoughts become things, that's my main motto.
Yes.
It literally, they go out with a force on their own, striving to become the things and events of our lives. And it's as if the universe starts moving people around and circumstances around as if they were puppets on a marionette string,
uh-huh.
predisposing us to life's so-called accidents, coincidences, and serendipities, yielding the manifestation in the illusions that had previously been in our minds simply as an end result.
Yeah.
So the action is so important, and it's so often overlooked.
And it keeps us in momentum. It keeps us,
it
you know,
does.
There's a funny human quality where we like to feel useful. It makes us feel good to be in action.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does cause that connection. You're exactly right. It reminds me of an analogy I use where, you know, someone is yearning for that relationship that they want, waiting for the knight in shining armor to show up at their door, and while you're in your house, he doesn't know you're there.
That's perfect. That's perfect. And,
right. So you really need to get out of your house.
You do,
yeah,
and no matter what bar you go to, and this is one of the things I've literally found, even in relationships, traveling around in Europe, and I'm like, you know, I'm alone, and I've got, you know, 4 more days, and I would just love to talk to somebody, particularly a lady, and I'd be so uptight, I'd be almost running from from tourist site to, you know, bistro to here to there and thinking, well, where's the most likely place? And then it dawned on me, it's like, no matter where you go, she's going to be there.
Yep.
And it's like in that breath, this woman walked by me. This is the last time it happened. And I asked her for directions, and she's a friend that I still email to this very day. And it's you cannot mess it up. And why we think we can mess it up is because we're addicted to the use of our physical senses. We think everything happens in a chronological order on a timeline. This is the biggest lie. Our physical senses lie. The illusions are yesterday's end results and yesterday's journeys, the culmination of yesterday's journeys. And when you realize that things don't happen in as predictable a fashion as we would think with a chronological timeline, then we realize that like every nanosecond of the day is an opportunity for the universe to kind of sneak somebody in, which in that moment will rearrange past and present and memories and storylines so that it somehow does make sense to the physical senses. But really, the universe is not constrained by the physical senses. Only we are, and we can beat that if we just get out there with faith, and knocking on the wrong door will lead you to the right door. There is no wrong door.
Absolutely. Every moment is absolutely an opportunity for infinite possibilities to occur if we just allow them. Now, one thing that you said I love, in this action, this place where we're taking inspired action, where we're actually engaging the universe, we're engaging life. One of the things that you talked about, and again, I'm going to put it into my vernacular, and you tell me if this is what you mean, and then perhaps expand on it.
Okay.
Sometimes I find in life that we take score of where we are, especially when we perceive that it's not going well.
Mm-hmm.
But the universe never takes score. You're always going to win.
That's right.
But if we start taking score, we think that we're losing when right around the next corner is a home run. So
That's so good. That's so good, and that's one of my main things in the talk I'm doing now. I talk about the miraculous mechanics of manifestation. I talk about peeking behind the curtains of time and space, and one of the bullet points I have to kind of understand the process is to know, and this ends up becoming obvious to you after you see your life and see these kind of things happen, is to know that the miracles of progress are actually always invisible to the physical senses, at least until the end result is arrived at. And then you can look back and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize when I met so-and-so and when I had the argument with this person and when I got bumped off the road by that person that these things were playing together.
Yeah.
And in so many times in my life, again, stunningly, 6-7 years ago when I was kind of redefining myself, I had this mailing list which was producing about $0 a week, a month, but I was mailing weekly and then daily. And so I said, look, knock on another door. Keep doing it, but knock on another door. So I joined Toastmasters, was terrified of speaking, but I joined it. I started speaking at Rotary Clubs to get my nerve up. I started speaking at Unity Churches, and within a few months, I could see that the formula wasn't working because not only was I writing for free, but I was speaking for free. So then I developed my website and affiliate marketing with Exxon and Delta, but the internet bubble burst, it didn't pan out. Then I started selling a survival kit. You know, I have an adventurer's club. Oh, hey, members would love to buy a survival kit. And so if you bought my $35 survival kit, you'd get a T-shirt. You'd get a book, which I hadn't been able to liquidate the year before. You'd get a keychain, which never did get liquidated. And I thought this was it.
But Mike, I have to ask you. Because you're talking... You know, you're everyone. This is what everyone does to some degree or another.
Mm-hmm.
What was going through your mind as you're going through all of these pursuits that you're thinking are going to somehow pan out?
I will admit, I did quite a bit of worrying, truly and frankly, about money, about what happens if this doesn't work out. What am I stupid? Should I have worked for a job? Oh, Mike, go work in an accounting firm, get some money. Don't have to worry about that anymore, and then you can write. And but I had this feeling that I was on to something, and I knew the ability to coast for at least a few more months. And while everything I did, everything I touched to the physical senses was an abject failure, I just was like, look, you know how life works. Thoughts become things, and I every day I did what I knew to do. I visualized.
You didn't score.
No, I didn't keep score. I didn't call them failures. I just kept thinking, well, and so the survival kit didn't work out, but it got me internet enabled. In the end, after a year of failure, I got an invitation.
Supposedly.
I didn't think of it as a year of failure. I was just like, geez, you know, my reserves have dwindled, and I don't know if I can make it another 12 months.
Sure.
But I got an invitation from a professional speaker, because one of the things I did was attended the NSA meetings, National Speaker Association meetings in Central Florida, as a paying guest. They wouldn't let me join because I wasn't a professional speaker. But I would go there, and I had asked a few people, how do you do this, and maybe I'll speak one day, and what were your lessons? And, you know, I was knocking on doors, and nobody didn't get to hear from Mike Tooley.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's brain wasn't picked. And so then, all of a sudden, the president of NSA, who lived in Orlando, was a young guy, just a little bit younger than me, actually, and at the time I was about 40, called me up and said, how would you like to do an audio program together, and we'll sell it as a subscription. One recording a month will be released in the upcoming year, 2000. And I was blown away that he would even consider doing this with me. But then, to long story short, after we drew our two lists, because we both had a mailing list, I sold $5,000 worth one day. It was the happiest day of my life. He sold none, and he bowed out. He said, you know, I can't do this, you know, split the money, you just do your version, I'll do mine. Well, ordinarily that would have been scary, but I had been thinking, you know, wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have a partner? And it was like magic that the universe took him out of my life just at the right time. It was magic that he brought him in my life, because he got me over the hump of not writing. I was tired of writing book-wise, and I thought, I'm never going to write a book again. I tried years ago, and it didn't pan out. So this guy got me over the hump of committing to write a program, and then got out of the picture. And I was like, if that wasn't a miracle, I don't know what it was, because it's what I wanted. But then I went to my Toastmaster speeches, the club I gave free speeches to, and I used the content. I spoke about life, dreams, and happiness to my club members.
Mm-hmm.
How did I sell it? I sold it to the people at first who were reading my free daily email. So there was something to that after all. How did I sell it after that? I did the affiliate marketing cards. I took out Exxon and Delta banners, and I put in Infinite Possibilities, my audio program's name, banners. And then how did I get payment instantaneously over the internet? Well, my survival kits had a credit card enabled me. And so this whole year of failure were vital, vital building blocks in terms of content, confidence, inspiration, credit card enabled, having an audience, a readership, affiliate program. It was just mind-numbing. And the way it ties in best to the material I talk about now is that every manifestation, yours, mine, or all that is when the universe first sprung into place, starts with the end in mind. And in the instant you define the end result, in broad, general terms, not the details, that comes later, the instant you define the end result, in that moment, that nanosecond, the entire sequence of events necessary to bring your dream to pass, including the players and circumstances you don't even know exist right now, they're known by the universe.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
And in the moment you begin moving towards it, that's step two. In the moment you begin moving towards it, that's when the universe can conspire and rearrange those players and circumstances in your path, predisposing you to ideas. But the biggest lesson is, don't interpret the journey, whether it's a week or a year like mine was, with your physical senses alone, because at best you'll be discouraged, at worst you'll quit.
And in Get Out of Your Own Way, we call that don't take score. Just taking
score
in life.
You're winning. From the universe, it says something about,
yeah.
You know, it escapes me right now, but something to the effect that, you know, the better assumption every single day is that you are getting closer, and it is getting easier, and it is more fun, and that your dreams are coming true, rather than looking with your physical senses, keeping score, and saying, well, nothing's happening, you know?
Yeah. It's like in the Secret movie, the grass growing underneath the soil.
Very, very good.
And sooner or later that grass is going to appear, but you can't see it coming closer to the top of the soil. So
very good.
Yeah, I love that. I must share with you because, by the way, I went to university for accounting. Pretty funny, isn't it?
Of course.
I didn't share that with you before, which is very funny.
That's so funny.
Two logical people would end up doing something like this. But I must tell you, what you just described is exactly the way, about 10 or 12 years ago, I said I'd have to write a book with Wayne Dyer. And then I met a guy named Stephen E. I met Stephen E. He said, oh, I'm writing books. I'd love to have you in the book. I said, okay, I'll write a story for your book. He sent me the copy of the book after it's compiled. And who do you think the first author in the book is?
Wow.
Wayne Dyer. So, again, just to your point, I love the concept of not taking score, and I love how you describe it. So,
yeah.
Having said that, there is one question that we discussed that I loved that you and I discussed. And the question was, is life fair? I love that.
No,
so,
it
Mike,
is so not fair. It is abjectly not fair, patently unfair. The cards of life are so heavily stacked in our favor, it is a joke. We have to dwell upon an end result and randomly, haphazardly almost, move in the direction of our dreams. And if we do not deviate, it must come to pass. It is so not fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds it.
Yeah, poor us, huh?
Poor us. That's a shame. So exciting, though. I hope everyone on the line is excited because I'm about to open up the lines, if you don't mind,
Mike. Fine. Let's talk to people.
Yeah, we can have. So before I open up the lines, everyone, let's have some. If anyone would like to ask Mike a question, clearly state your name and where you're from, and then you can state your question. When I open up the lines, everyone, because we'll be able to hear the background noise, there's a feature on this conference recording called Star 6. And Star 6 mutes you out. You'll be able to hear us, but we can't hear your background noise. So if you're not going to ask a question of Mike, please press Star 6. And that way we won't be able to hear your background. But the people who want to ask questions, you can ask your question, and once you've asked it, if you can please star 6 yourself so we won't be able to hear the background. And thank you in advance, everyone. So I'm going to unmute us. 1 second. All right. Can everyone hear?
Yes.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. So who has the first question for King Tut?
I do.
And who's that?
Robin.
Robin Malero from?
From Toronto.
And what's your question, Robin?
Wow. Hi, Jen. Hi, Mike. This is
Hi,
so
Robin.
Exciting. About 3 weeks ago, I got to speak to Louise Hay on the radio.
Oh.
And that was a little dream come true. And now I get to ask you a question, Mike. This is awesome.
I'm just as excited, Robin.
Well, let me tell you first off that that I am a part of your club.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love getting the emails every morning. I look forward
Thanks.
To them. It's so exciting. And now my eldest son is part of the Tut family.
All right.
And he's 23, and he's
Good
the coolest age. Guy, and he just thinks this is awesome.
Oh, fun.
So it's, it's great. I've got two questions, quick questions, and then I just want to listen to what
okay.
you have to say.
So, Robin,
yes.
we can if there are short questions, that's good.
They are.
Okay,
real short.
Good. Great.
Real short. I just want to ask, Mike, how if you can talk to us a little bit about how you got involved with the Secret movie, because that just continues to blow me away every week, every time I watch it. And the second question is, do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever get down? And how do you deal with that? And
mm-hmm.
thank you so much. And now I'm just going to listen.
Thanks,
You're
Robin.
Welcome, Robin. Great questions. Well, The Secret was just another miraculous manifestation. The big, deep answer would be, you know, my own end result is, you know, reaching a lot of people, having fun, international travel, rubbing shoulders with other accomplished or renowned speakers, and moving in that direction, the universe takes care of the details. Well, one of the details it took care of was Rhonda Byrne, the producer, when she went through the challenge period of her life that she speaks about in the movie, when her daughter said, "Here, read this book," it wasn't just one book. There was audio programs, there were other resources, and she gobbled up everything she could get her hands on, and one of those things was subscribing to the Daily Notes from the Universe. And I'm tickled pink and thrilled beyond words that she's still a subscriber and greatly moved by them, as are some of her closest associates and family. And so she found me, and I got a call when I was in Europe speaking last summer that from from Rhonda's sister, who I didn't know, and they wanted to fly me to Chicago first class and blah, blah, and I didn't know if it was legitimate or not, but the tone sounded good and the vibe was there, and so we did it, and then lo and behold, we're fast friends now, and I got a piece in the secret.
So, and Mike, do you ever get down, and how do you
do? Sure.
By the way, congratulations for being in The Secret. That's just on my list, by the way.
Thank you. So. Well, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see you there soon. And by the way, just FYI, kind of the scuttlebutt, the book's coming out. It's going to be available November 28th in North America, as is the audio program. And that's probably all I should share for right now.
Okay.
But as far as getting down and depressed, I don't think I have it's not, I'm not a manic depressed person at all, but yeah, I'm depressed. I feel down. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels.
Mm-hmm.
But it always, for me, is like, if you want to change things, how do you do it? The end result. And the best ultimate end result is always joy, because joy forces you. First of all, any end result, the thought of it forces the circumstances to bring it to pass. And if you choose an end result that is joy, that is happiness, the universe knows what's going to make you happy. And it knows dang well that you're not going to be truly happy broke. You're not going to be happy alone. You're not going to be happy sick. You're not going to be happy if you're not pleased with your weight, that kind of thing. And so if the vision of the end result is clear enough and you move towards it, you express joy as you can, and you look, you do some introspective digging around, the details of your life, including players and circumstances, the physical players and circumstances, will be forced to yield that joy. So if I'm feeling frustrated about something or down about something or, I just kind of remind myself of the nature. I allow myself to feel those things, never wallow in them. I never, belabor them. I never call everybody and say, oh, I'm so down, and I don't know what to do with my life, because I know those declarations just prolong it, just extend it. You project it into the future, whatever you're thinking. Today's depression is the result of yesterday's end results, generally, yesterday's journeys. And so if today you choose a new end result and it's depression because you're expressing what you feel or making declarations about it, oh, poor, pitiful me, then you make it more of it. So I don't go on those parties or those rides. I feel the emotions, but I change my focus to the degree I can. It's not always easy, to things that make me happy. And
so you don't spend much time in resistance. You just sort of let it be there and let it flow through and focus your attention on something
that feels
better in short order. And
exactly.
I probably know the answer to this question, but I suspect that the length of time you spend in that, I'll use a really big technical term, icky place, is getting shorter and shorter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's easier when the things are just clicking everywhere and you've never had so much international travel and never had so many friends and never had so many opportunities that are just like knocking on your door every day. It's
good for you.
I have to say it gets easier and easier and easier, but that doesn't mean, that it in the last couple of weeks there wasn't a low point or a dang it or a feeling of frustration or I think there's a lot of room in all of our lives. We wouldn't be here in this great adventure if there wasn't, for seeing things slightly differently. And that requires, and I talk about this in my workshop now, that requires introspection. Nobody comes along, certainly not the universe or your guardian angel, and taps you on the shoulder and says, excuse me, Mike, but you've been deluding yourself. Excuse me, but you have some conflicting beliefs.
Yep.
Or excuse me, but, you're missing the obvious. It's like there was a note from the universe that says, nobody on this side of the curtain is ever going to do that, because you're going to label us, you think we won't believe in you, that we don't have faith in you, that we're judgmental. So, but we don't have to, because there's something else in place. The system in place works, and that is either you find out on your own through introspection that there's another way to look at things, there's another way to deal with life, or manifest chaos. Either way, you're going to get back on the right track eventually. And so the note from the universe said, win-win. You end up in the right place anyway.
Yeah.
But it can be a bide, or you can kind of circumvent those bumps by sometimes, asking yourself, you've been kidding yourself, or understanding that the things you say you want really aren't what's important, as are the underlying motivators. And what are those motivators? Are you trying to prove something? Are you trying to run away from something? Are you trying to dodge responsibility? Because if those are your motivators, you know, for money, number one, it's not a good recipe to get the money. But if you did break through and get the money, you're still not going to get what you really wanted, because you can't run away from yourself and you can't, you know, cover anything emotional up money, no matter, you know, anybody will tell you that.
Yeah, most people who are looking for money, they think they'll find fulfillment in the having of the money, when really it's the finding the fulfillment that gets you the momentum with prosperity. It's just interesting how it's...
It is very interesting. Yeah. There was a study that I read about just 6 months ago. You know, mainstream scientists, they did a big study on happy people. And they, one of the findings was people who are suited to their work, and this is mainstream people talking, but of course we all ought to be inclined to our work, but people who are suited to work, who are actively busy with it, don't even associate their do not link their happiness with the financial rewards. And I can tell you, and I know when Rhonda interviewed me for The Secret, they said, so what's new now, Mike? What's next? What world are you going to conquer? And I'm like, you know, now that I'm so much is happening and I'm so enthralled by the my day-to-day life, just being productive, that doesn't mean just, you know, one great slap on the back after another. It's like I'm learning about creativity. I'm trudging through sometimes the jungles of time and space in my own, but it's enthralling. And just because you found your bliss doesn't mean it's challengeless. And I said to Rhonda and team, I said, you know, now for me, you know, it's not like there's not these worlds or these labels or these traditional goals that I want to conquer anymore. It's much more about doing what I'm now doing and more of the same. And, you know, Rhonda lit up and she said, that's exactly where I am right now. You know, it's not about, you find the job. She has the job she liked. Same for me. It's not about the abundance. We both had that. It's not about, it's about really being here now, really dealing with the challenges you all have. Now, some people might be thinking, listening to this, well, yeah, when I get my job, I'll do that. When I get my dream career, when I get the bucks, but this is exactly what we're talking about. It's like, no, you will never have the perfect everything. You know, I would like to have been in The Secret more. I would like to have a sure ticket for the sequel. You know, as long, there will always be things you want in your life that you do not have. Even if you're walking on water and you're an absolute radiating, glowing messiah, The important thing is to realize there will always be things that you want that you don't have, because as you do get things, then you're going to replace the old desires with new ones. So it's an absolute guaranteed fact of life that there will be desires in your life. Enlightenment is not the killing of desire. It's understanding that there will always be desires and learning how to be happy in that you don't yet have all that you want, because nobody ever has all that they want. That's death. That's non-existence.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no reason to get out of bed.
Yeah, and that's really why we fade away, isn't it? Because we stop. It's so funny on the Secret. A lot of people on the line tonight have been listening to Jerry and Esther Hicks, and one of the funniest things that I describe is one of the quotes they use around people going on vacation. And if they want to go on vacation to Fiji and then Japan and then Australia and then Italy and then Ireland, and then you're going to come home. Oh, well, I'm already home. Why go? Right? So the thing is, really, you don't go on the journey to get home. You go on the journey to go on the journey. And when you get home is when you get home, which is fine. But when you're on
right.
the journey, certainly you got to enjoy the vacation.
Right.
So
right.
So now, having said that, let's see if someone else has a question, Mike. Okay. Does anyone else have a question for Mike? And make sure if you're muted, you unstar six yourself. So in order to hear you, you'll need to press star six again.
I have a question.
Sure, and who's this?
It's Kathy Webster.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for sharing this wonderful information, Mike.
You're welcome.
It's wonderful.
Thanks for making it possible.
Yeah. I'm selling real estate too, and I have a pretty great life, as Jen knows. I have a very full life, and I'm involved and engaged with a lot of different things and a lot of learning and growing. I have a question around, oftentimes I wonder whether I should be doing what I'm doing. And a lot of things flood into my mind. I get ideas constantly about maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. And they come in with such frequency and such abundance that I find that I'm overwhelmed by it all. And for the most part, I don't end up doing any of those extra things for a large part of the time. And, you know, I will read books and I will expand my mind and go to courses and things like that, but not necessarily go to trying a new venture or pursuing an invention idea or something like that. I don't end up doing those things out of what seemingly is a lack of time. And I'm just wondering, how do you know what things to pursue and what things not to? If you don't really have, like I have an end in mind, a successful picture, but I don't really have a strong calling for one thing or another.
Well, it sounds like the kind of the shoulds are there and maybe even a matter of a level of guilt there. And, okay, you know, I've kind of semi-conquered the real estate mountain and, well, there's got to be more. And, oh, I'm doing this or I could consider doing that. And it's like, you know, I think a lot of schools of thought would tell you there are no shoulds. And the question should always be, what do I want to do? And the want and the definition of what it is you want to do does not need to be, you know, a sexy career that saves, you know, orphans somewhere. It just needs to bring you joy, and that's going to trickle down to the people who help orphans, and that's how you'll reach the orphans best of all. It's not a matter of, you know, if what I'm doing now hadn't worked out, one of the things, I mean, it sounds negative, but one of the things I used to have a passion for was just irrigation. I know that's really weird, and I fixed my whole homeowners association for free when I had the time, and it's like, you know, I'll get into the irrigation business because I can't explain it, but I like it. Now, it's not sexy, and it's not something I'd be proud to tell people I'm doing, but those things are so pitifully unimportant. What is important is that you enjoy what you do, and with any career, there's going to be, you know, highs and lows and good days and bad days. I mean, I can attest to that even now. I mean, there's times... but there's times when I'm like, you know, maybe I should do another book, or maybe I shouldn't tour, I should write, maybe I should, and you know, and then it's like, oh, wait a minute, these are the shoulds, you know, it's like, well, what would you rather do? Would you rather keep touring, or would you rather, it's like, oh, no, what I want to do is this. And there was a note from the universe that once said, you know, the universe doesn't give a flying yahoo what you do for a living, and your purpose is nothing more in life than to be yourself, and you can't not be yourself. If you're breathing, you're being yourself, and you're then filling that one niche that nobody else can fill. So, you know, as you go down the highway of life, it's only natural to kind of look over your shoulder and say, well, you know, I could invent that, and I could write a song, and I could, you know, do improv comedy, and I could paint a picture and sell my paintings. That's so natural. That doesn't mean that it's a hidden purpose and that's your calling. It's like your calling is whatever you're doing now. Until you just get to a point like I did in public accounting, it's just like, you know, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with my life, but I know it's not this. And that's how I was in accounting, and I just quit, and I had no idea what I was going to do. Nobody could believe that I had the audacity to do that. There was rumors flying around the Pricewaterhouse office in Boston, and it was a crazy time, but I was just like, you know, I know. And sometimes doing that is knowing what you're doing. Like, I didn't know. I knew that I was forcing something. I knew I had a different end result in mind in general terms that could be brought about by taking this kind of a chance, and it paid off handsomely. But so I think you're maybe just getting in your own way, thinking too much or looking for shoulds. And you say, how do you know? It's always a matter of joy. And if nothing is pulling you away significantly enough from real estate, whether it's money or creativity or whatever, then keep doing what you're doing. And as I said in my first world tour, you know, whenever it's before you, always do it to the best of your ability. Just master it. That doesn't mean work overtime, but just be just a shining example of what a realtor or a broker could be. And you're going to love it, and people will love you that way. And that's going to, when you really master it that way, that's when different opportunities are going to come that are hard to say no to and that will fill you with joy. So I'd say keep doing what you're doing.
That's great. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. And we'll take one more question before we close up for tonight. Is there anyone else that has a burning question for Mike Dooley tonight? If you can make sure you press *6 so we can hear you. Anyone else?
Sure, I have one.
Sure. Who's this?
It's Lori.
Sorry?
It's Lori from Uxbridge.
Oh, hi there. How are you?
How are you?
Good, good.
Hi,
what's
Mike.
Your question?
Hi. Is it Lori?
Yeah. Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. I just have a quick question. You always go on about time and space. I kind of get on that. Can you kind of elaborate what you mean?
Well, that's a weighty topic. Let me just put it in a nutshell. They are real, and so you're not wrong to think that and wonder what people are saying about the illusions. But the thing is, it's not like they're one or the other. They're real, but they're also illusory, and they are made up of thought. One of the deductive reasoning exercises I walk people through in my present program is to ask the question, you know, when you dream at night about people, places, and things, are they real or are they just thought? And the answer is they're both. They're real for the person having that dream with sweaty brow, racing heart, and God knows what other bodily functions taking place. But from the outside, from our perspective, it's easy enough to see that they're also just thought. And the dream of life, the here and now, it's exactly the same. It, however, is being dreamt by the universe, who slowly but surely is waking up groggy and confused as you and me. And now it's as if the baton has been passed, and we get to choose our thoughts, and it is thought that furthers the dream, that perpetuates the dream. Life in time and space is literally identical to the reality of our dreams, except it's ordered and organized in a different way, and it's perceived by us as concrete. It is real. It's something to contend with, because we're locked with our physical senses into this kind of vibration, this focus. But it's also just thought, our thoughts. And I know that might seem daunting, and people will say, well, I don't remember creating this. And it's like, well, so what? Do you remember how you made your heart beat in the last, 400 times since I started talking? Do you know how, do you have to know thrust-to-weight ratios to fly in a plane? It's like, no. And it makes sense that you wouldn't know about it. Just like when you go to the movies, you want the lights out. In time and space, if you remembered that you had already lived a number of lives, and I do believe in reincarnation, and we can talk about it if there's time, but if you knew you've been around and you're going to be around, and you were really sleepy one morning in bed here and it's raining, how much incentive would any of us have to do the hard stuff of life, or to do what we think or want to define as hard, if we felt like we could slough it off into the next life or to the next one? We'd get nothing done if we didn't have this vice grip of our physical senses on these illusions. Now, it's what heightens the emotion, the passion, the desire, the oh my God, the black and white, the have and have not, and it makes this one unforgettable adventure. But that doesn't mean we can't wake up mid-adventure and realize that we are calling the shots through the thoughts we choose to think.
Because time and space, again, just to make sure in my own mind, because time and space contains the infinite potentials that our life could become. And what we put our attention on will indicate which aspect of those potentials are going to become real in our lives.
True.
So,
totally true.
So time and space contains an infinite soup of potentials, which are all equally real. And as soon as we use our thoughts, we make those things real for us.
You draw them out of the ether, yeah.
Absolutely.
Time and space is a stage, you know?
Yes. Very
so
good.
I hope that helps, Lori.
Very good. I hope
that does. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your question, Lori. Now, I'm sorry for anyone else that has a question for Mike, but it is 10 o'clock, and I want to make sure that we get to a couple of things that are really important. Mike, you mentioned briefly about your world tour, and I just wanted to touch on the fact that you're going to be in Toronto on November the 4th.
Yay.
Now, yay, I know. So great. And the unfortunate thing is I won't be in Toronto on November the 4th. But the next time you come around, we'll be sure to connect.
Yes.
But I definitely wanted my listeners and my E-News members to know about your get-together here on November the 4th.
Thanks so much.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. And let me just add, though, on the following day, November 5th, I'm going to be in Montreal.
Wonderful.
So I'm at both locations. The program is entitled Manifesting Change, It Couldn't Be Easier. And it is significantly a lecture. I do virtually all of the talking. There's 7 sections, and I think 5 of those sections have an exercise, some of which you do with your counterpart, or somebody you'll meet at the event, and others you do yourself. But basically, I'm going to go through seven things. Number one, the fact that we are all effortless creators. That's when I get everybody on the same page. We talk about thoughts becoming things. We talk about time and space, the illusions, etc. Then I talk about the miraculous mechanics of manifestation from our perspective on this side of the curtains of time and space, and what happens on the other side. I then talk about the two-step process to instigate change. Number one, defining an end result, and that section is called playing the matrix, which buttons to press, which buttons to leave to the universe, which buttons to avoid. And then step two is moving in the direction of our dreams, what I call the power to have it all. The fifth section of the program is called opening the floodgates, which is about having the courage to be yourself, which is so sadly overlooked, especially among new metaphysicians. Number six, we talk about understanding adversity, and at the end of that section, nobody will believe that any such thing exists. And number seven, we wrap it up with a section entitled, It Is Your Turn to Live Your Life as You Most Want to Live It. That's why you're here.
Excellent.
So it's a fun day. I've done it in London. I've done it in Alaska. I've done it in Vancouver and in Calgary and in Orlando to great, great reviews. And it is material I'm exceedingly fond of right now. So the passion's there.
Well, we can tell. And listen, anyone who is interested in finding out more, if you can go to www.thevitalyou.com, you'll see in the lower left there's something called school. It's called Soul Registration, and you'll see Mike's link there. You can go right to Mike's website and see his materials, which I want to mention a couple that I've listened to personally. I have, and as you all know, I wouldn't have Mike on the interview program unless, of course, it was something that I knew that would just forward your journey in joy and expanding a great life and just having a, you know, a wonderful time until you all croak. So, but some of the things that I've listened to from your website that I thoroughly enjoyed, there were two things. One of them was one that my friend had given me. It was Infinite Possibilities, The Art of Living Your Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
That was my big first program.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I loved it. I just loved it. I thought, you know, let's just download this. I'm going to put headphones on when I go to sleep, and when I wake up, I hope it's playing. So, and the second audio program that I listened to was Leveraging the Universe and Engaging the Magic, and again. Fabulous. I love the word leveraging anyways, but leveraging the universe, and I also love the word magic, so so you put those both in one title, and I knew I had to listen to that one as well. So both of those for me were rather, obviously I teach this stuff, I've written books, all those things, but it seems that everyone has their own unique thoughts, about how this wonderful miracle of life works. And when we listen to it from other people's perspectives, it's so engaging and thought-provoking, and it instills into our subconscious ideas that then don't go away and ensure that the momentum and the possibilities keep expanding. It's just, for me, listening to audios is such a wonderful way to almost imprint that school of life into our brains such that we're living that magical life as opposed to surviving our everyday. So I want to thank you very much for those audio programs. And
thanks, Jen.
No problem, and I so wish I could be here on the 4th. Mm. But what I am going to do is request that everyone on the line go on the 4th and write amazing notes and then forward them to me.
Good idea.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Mike Dooley, to our – if anyone is not on Mike's newsletter – you really need to get on it. I wake up every day. I can't wait to get down to my computer and see what the universe has sent today.
Notes from the universe. Well, and in parting words, oh, gosh, it really couldn't be easier than defining an end result in broad general terms and then moving in that direction. The details, we didn't talk about that, the details that you visualize, those would be the consequences of your dream already coming true, not how to get there. But if you can do those two things, define the end result and move in the general direction or whatever you think is your best attempt at it, then the sun and the moon and the stars are moved and legions are summoned and everything gets easier.
I want to ask a question because I want to make sure we have two more minutes. I just want to ask a question on what you just said. If we figure out what our the end that we have in mind, now, Mike, does it have to be detailed or can it be a figment, a small portion of that dream? We haven't quite figured out the details, but we know how it feels.
That's a great question, and it creates a lot of havoc not knowing the answer, in my opinion.
Yes.
Because, you know, some people say, sometimes I say, you know, imagine every conceivable detail, sights, sounds, colors, textures, emotions especially.
Sure.
And then I also say, but I'm taking it next now, you know, define the end result in broad, general, sweeping terms.
Yeah.
Now, the end result, the area that you want to manifest change, should generally be, in my book, one of six categories, like career, happiness, health, appearance, you know, with your weight, relationships, and creativity, work. But then when you get to the details, I've decided the area you want to change in general terms, you know, your life in broad, sweeping terms, then take out a pen and paper and write bullet points of the consequences of your dream having already come true. You know, what are your friends now saying to you? What kind of clothes do you now wear?
Uh-huh.
Where do you vacation? How do you travel? What's your modus operandi? Who are you reaching out to help succeed as you've succeeded? These are consequences, big difference to the hows. Most people define a dream, and then they work backwards, and they think, well, now how am I going to get there? Oh, I'm going to meet that person, and I'm going to that job. And they start visualizing the hows in details, and they're limiting themselves.
Yeah.
So the details do need to be there, but they would always be in terms of consequences to your dream having already come true, and they'd never be on their own the end-all or be-all of your dream. The red Ferrari really isn't as important as wealth and abundance, but people get hung up on Ferrari or getting the contract from the publisher, and they'll think that's so important when that's not even what they cared about. They cared about creative work. They cared about wealth and abundance. So it's important to not get the details mixed up. They should be of the consequences, not the hows.
So imagining the dream, the result of the dream, and
exactly
how that feels, as opposed to the details of how that's going to come about. And it's so true. We all really get caught up in, well, you know, in order for me to get that house, I have to get the right person, then I have to live in it, and you don't have to do any of that.
No, and that just bogs it all down and stresses you out.
Very good. And so once that work is done, we'll see before us some inspired action that seems relatively obvious to take, yes?
Great point, because normally if there's no conflicting beliefs, and it's easy enough to work around them if there are, if there's no conflicting beliefs, you will be thrown into action. You will not be able to surround your house and wait for the magic and the universe to come, you know, put miracles on you. You're going to be out there dancing with life. You're going to know your success is inevitable, and you're going to want to network at Rotary and speak at Toastmasters because of the joy of it, not because you have to, not because it's how your dream is going to come true. But if you see yourself paralyzed and you're sitting on the sidelines waiting for your ducks to line up, then you need to just start pushing yourself in general direction. Just start going through the motions, but as soon as you put one foot in front of the other, as soon as you step out into the abyss, you're going to find that there's actually terra firma there. It's going to hold you, and then you're going to have a new perspective from where the next step goes and the next step. And then as you're out there, the universe moves players and circumstances in your path, and all the hard stuff is done for you as long as we don't mess with the cursed house and all that kind of thing.
Well, it's great to speak with someone who's living it, Mike, and we so appreciate you being on.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. It's been a joy.
It is.
Great energy.
Absolute pleasure. And so I would love to have you again sometime. I know there were lots more people that wanted to be on tonight that weren't able to make it are going to be listening to the recording, and I'm going to be telling them to go to next weekend as well.
All right.
So,
well, I hope to see you all there.
Absolutely.
Whatever works best for you.
It'd be great. And so, everyone, if you go to www.thevitalyou.com, there's some words about Mike under the last icon on the left called Soul Registration. You click on that, and you'll see a big pink piece on that page, and it will take you straight through to Mike's website. You can, I assume they can register for the event there.
Yeah, if you go to my when you get to my webpage that way, you'll see the Jungle Fever, you'll see the island, and you'll see Adventures. Click on Adventures, then you'll see World Tour. Click on World Tour, and you'll see the Toronto and Montreal locations.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much again. It's been an absolute pleasure. And
thank you, Jennifer.
And have the most wonderful time next November with some of my friends. I'm sure they'll give lots of love.
That will be easy. I will have a great time. I love Toronto. And Montreal will be my first time to visit, so I can't wait.
Oh, wonderful. And spread the word, you guys. So, great. Thanks, Mike. And we'll talk to you again soon, I bet.
All right. Well, tally-ho, everyone. Thanks for joining in.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mike.
Bye, Jennifer.
Bye now. Good night, everyone.
Jen?
Good night.
Good night.